It appears that the expanding Christian church was adapting itself to the administrative geography of the Roman Empire. Now, that isn't surprising if you think about it. And remember, we are smack in the middle of the Pax Romana, this age of peace, order, stability, this time of good transportation, of good communications. I mean, one of the very interesting things when you think about, for instance, Paul's letters, is how easily he is able to communicate with quite far-flung communities. All right, the Romans built a large and substantial administrative structure in the Mediterranean world, and as Christian missions grew and as the Christian community grew, the Christians took advantage of it. There's nothing surprising about that. There is here a paradox. We are in a world full of paradoxes, aren't we? The paradox is this. We think of the ancient world because of its great cities. We think of Rome, we think of Athens, we think of Alexandria, and so on. And yet 80 or 90% of the population lived in the countryside. But then, as now, rural populations are spread out all over the place. So if you want to reach reasonable numbers of people, you go to cities. Where did Paul go? He went to cities. Where do we first then begin to know about the administrative organization of a Christian church? In cities. Now, we'll have occasion in later lectures to note the fact that it took a long period of time to convert the countryside. But initially, we're talking about an urban phenomenon, not exclusively, but largely an urban phenomenon. Now, in many of the cities of the Roman world, there began to grow up a number of different Christian communities. Now, we could say parishes today, but that would be a little bit anachronistic, but it may give us a vague sense of what was going on. In other words, a group of communities began growing up inside individual towns. Now, in many of these cities, we can't say confidently in all of them, in many of these cities, the oldest priest, oldest, not wisest, richest, most famous, best family, something, the oldest priest, and how many times in ancient history have we noticed situations where old equals wise, from wise old Nestor in the Iliad to the assembly of the old men at Sparta to the Senate, the assembly of old men in Rome. So, in the Christian community, the oldest priest comes to have a hierarchical and supervisory role over the other communities in his town. He becomes, in a quite literal sense, an overseer, an episkopos. Is that what Paul envisioned at the very beginning? Or was this an evolution over time? Probably the latter. Probably the latter. But in any case, it is over the course of the second century that we can watch this evolution actually taking place. Now, by the end of the second, or very beginning of the third century, as I mentioned a minute ago, we hear of metropolitan bishops. Now, what is a metropolis? Do you remember when we talked about Greek colonization? The mother city, the metropolis, sends out colonies, sends out children, as it were. In the administrative geography of the Roman Empire, capitals of provinces were metropolitan cities. They were sort of literally, but figuratively, the mother city of the children cities of the province. I've emphasized several times already that Rome ruled through cities. Well, then, as it was the case that in the Roman administrative geography of the Mediterranean world, in a world carved up into provinces, where each province had a capital, therefore had a city that was the most important, and whereas in those cities Christian communities were growing up, and in those Christian communities the oldest priest in a given town came to be the overseer over the communities of that town, so it follows, you can watch the administrative logic here, that the oldest priest of the metropolitan city of a province of the Roman Empire came to have ruling responsibility over the over the urban priests, the older priests, the overseers, the bishops, if you like, of the individual towns of the Roman Empire. Now, some centuries later, these metropolitan bishops will come to be called archbishops. And then what we have is a system which is archbishops, with bishops under them and with priests under them. But over the course of the second century, we can watch that situation begin to evolve and elaborate. But as I say,